Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my special guest, Mike Baker, Vice President, Wealth Advisor, and Rule 144 Specialist with Morgan Stanley Global Wealth Management. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. As I mentioned, Mike is a vice president, and he's got more than 14 years experience in the brokerage industry. As a graduate of Old Dominion University, he applies his education in finance and background in financial planning and financial markets for the benefit of his clients. Prior to joining Morgan Stanley in 1997, Mike worked in the Washington, D.C. office of Merrill Lynch. He's earned his Rule 144 Specialist designation from Morgan Stanley. And Mike and his wife, Rachel, and their daughter, Devin, live in Arlington, Virginia. And as I understand it, you are a native Washington, D.C., right?
I am, Wayne.
Like from the very beginning.
From the beginning. In fact, my parents just recently sold the house that they built before I was born. I grew up in Alexandria. Graduated from T.C. Williams High School, which was a movie that's best remembered from the movie.
Remember the Titans.
That's it.
It's one of my favorite movies, actually.
And Coach Yost was a gym teacher when I was there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How about that? So you lived there your whole life. Now you're in Arlington.
We live in Arlington. We're in the Cherrydale district. We love living there. We can walk to the restaurants, to the metro. It was just recently voted number one by Parenting Magazine last year. As you mentioned, I have a daughter. She'll be able to walk to elementary and high school as well, so it's very convenient.
That's wonderful. So when did you start your business and, you know, the business of financial planning and financial advisory?
I got into financial advising in 1994, and in 1997, as you mentioned, I was recruited to Morgan Stanley. That's where I went out on my own to start with my own clientele.
And how did you start doing it?
Started the old-fashioned way, really. When I started, cold calling was still very popular. This is before the do not call list.
Uh-huh.
I would get on the phone for sometimes up to 12 hours a day, sometimes 6 days a week. I did it for years. It was a great way to reach out to a lot of people in a short period of time. Right now, things are different, but when I got started, that was the most popular and effective way to do it. Smiling and dialing is what we used to call it.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you get clients today?
Well, over the last 15 years, we've built up to about 450 good relationships we work with regularly.
That's nice.
Most of the business comes in through referrals, both through existing clients as well as people like yourself, Wayne, mostly attorneys, CPAs, people that are talking to their clients about the same type of issues that we're talking to our clients about.
All right. And what had you been doing up until that time when you started your business back in the late 90s?
I was going to college. As you mentioned, I went to Old Dominion down in Norfolk, Virginia. It's a great school. This is before they had the football team.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take a moment to acknowledge the success that they've had in their sports programs recently, both in basketball, football, as well as baseball. In fact, we have two starting pitchers in the major league right now.
Is that right?
My guess is we're going to have our first NFL recruit after this upcoming season.
Wonderful. Well, back to business. Mike, tell me a little bit about your business. What do you do? How do you do it? What differentiates you from other financial advisors around the area?
So I have a group of people on my team at Morgan Stanley. We run a wealth management business based on retirement planning. You know, we find there's really two types of clients, people that are in the accumulation stage and still building up their assets, and people in the distribution stage that are breaking them down and getting ready to live on them. We deal with both of them. We like to find people that are kind of making the transition from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually the time in their life that their money is the most important to them. They make a decision, and it's a decision that they feel has to be right. We have a neat tool we use called a retirement income planner, and we sit down with people and basically show them what their paycheck's going to be from here every month through retirement, really until their expected life.
What if they're not getting a paycheck?
If they're not getting a paycheck, they need to go back to the accumulation stage and start getting started.
Uh-huh. So when you say paycheck, what you're referring to is money that's coming out of their retirement assets that they've accumulated during their lifetime.
Yeah, we look at all sources of income. Some of our clients have pensions, some don't. Most are going to be getting Social Security. We look at what they've done on their own as far as funding any type of retirement and non-retirement vehicles. And we put it together with a, you know, expected rate of returns and in a bucket approach that's, very realistic to the way they're going to be living. And we found it's very effective. And it really answers the one question that we think clients have right now. You know, when can I retire? What does what's going on in the markets mean to me right now? How does it affect the paycheck that I'm going to get for the next 10, 20, 30 years?
What are you seeing as a general proposition in terms of that question? When can I retire?
Most of the clients have not been derailed that we're working with right now. You know, we're aware that the headlines have been negative, but it hasn't really affected their assets to the point that it would affect their retirement. For a number of reasons.
That's great to hear.
They still have a long time through retirement. You know, retirement's not the end date. It's not the day you sell everything and take the money and run.
Right.
It's just a date that you might stop reporting or stop reporting as regularly to whatever job or employer that you have.
Sure. But you might have other sources of income from consulting or part-time work or
you
other
see
things.
A lot of that.
Is that right?
In this area, yeah.
How far into the future do you project people to consume their income? At what point do you assume that they're no longer going to need to live? I mean, basically, what is the end point?
Unless told otherwise, we usually take it out to age 100, and that's usually sufficient to fulfill anybody's needs. It's a little higher than the normal life expectancy, and it will help address the question or the biggest concern that people come to us with. Yeah, I don't want to outlive my assets. I don't want to rely on somebody else or something else.
Absolutely. I think most of my clients feel exactly the same way. They just don't want to be reliant on anybody but themselves.
Yeah.
And in today's environment, it's becoming less and less likely that we can see that, though. I mean, money is the retirement accumulations that a lot of us had aren't quite as robust as they used to be.
They're not. It hasn't been normal. It's probably been a better time to for the accumulation stage than it has the distribution stage, as I mentioned, for a number of reasons, both the market as well as where the bond market is.
So, Mike, who are your primary customers? Who do you usually bring on as clients?
Most of the people we're working with right now either own a small business or they're an executive at a company, either private or public, or they're just professionals. Age-wise, it's mostly the baby boomer generation. Those are the people that are getting ready to make those decisions. You know, it's a lot of people that were sitting around wearing tie-dyes, looking at lava lamps 30 years ago saying, "Hey, man, is this Freedom Rock?" And, now they're wearing ties.
I remember lava lamps and tie-dyes, and I remember asking that question. So,
yeah.
But I'm not even close to retirement. Anyway, so that's funny. It's a great visual you've created for me. What would you say is your greatest challenge in growing your business today?
The greatest challenge for me, without a doubt, has been keeping clients focused on the long term. I mean, there's been so much happen just since I've been doing this in the world. Okay, if we go back to 97, when I mentioned I went out on my own, we've had two recessions. Okay, and those 15 years, the market's had a flat return for 11 of the 15 years.
That's right.
And so that automatically makes people think that they're not on track to achieve what they thought they were, 15 years ago, so to speak. And so people tend to think that whatever's happening now is going to happen in the future. And so the biggest challenge, to answer your question, has been to get people to not focus on the concerns, which is Greece and unemployment, and we got Iran coming up this year. We can even talk about the election if you want, and focus on the longer term, what their goals are, where their assets are, how long it needs to last, and what are the right things to do today.
You know, a lot of our listeners are people who are starting businesses, people who are trying to figure out what they want to do with their lives and their careers, and they look to others for guidance, mentors. Did you have a mentor, somebody that helped you get on track in your business?
I did. I worked with some great people in my career. The first two gentlemen I worked for at Merrill Lynch were Bill Steinbuck and John O'Farrell. I learned a lot working with them and their clients, enough that I wanted to go out on my own. Some of the other people that I liked were Don Conley. He was just a great motivator in my business. There was a great book I read by Leroy Gross called How to Sell Intangibles, which I kind of used as the sales Bible. And then the first manager to hire me, Jerry Castro, was my sales manager and my mentor for a number of years, just until he got promoted recently. So
what were some of the things that your mentors taught you? What are some of the key lessons that you learned?
They taught me a lot of the things of what to do, and I also learned a lot about what not to do. I think that the thing from my perspective is not to recreate the wheel, but to take the successful things that other people have used in my business and try to piece them together as how they're going to fit into my business. So I've always kept my eyes and ears open and tried to learn as much as I can and just incorporate it.
Do you mentor others now?
I do. I'm actually one of the business coaches in the office. I get a handful of people that work with me. I run the sales meeting on a regular basis and just try to teach them a lot of the stuff that I've learned. You know, how to build a business, how to run the business, how to get excited about the business. And it's rewarding to see the ones that stick with it and succeed in the end.
Now, you mentioned something that you one of the negatives, never try to recreate the wheel. What are some of the positives that you took away from your mentors?
I think just work ethic, a lot of the good habits that they do, how to talk to the clients, how to build the clients, how to analyze the products, how to analyze the markets, who to listen to, you know, and maybe what to listen to and what to block out, because there's always a lot of information coming in. And
now, you deal a lot with small businesses around the area, and you've got a lot of experience in dealing with people who are just starting up their business. What words of advice would you give to listeners who are interested in starting their own businesses?
You know, the piece of advice I would do is probably Nike's motto, just do it. I would just encourage them to jump in and get started. They're never going to know if they don't try what they could have achieved. You know, sometimes I feel people are their own worst enemies.
What do you mean by that?
I've seen a lot of qualified people that just for whatever reason, either they didn't know how or they were afraid to get started, never reached their full potential. And I think it's always okay in the end to say, maybe I tried something and it didn't work as I had expected or as I had liked. But I think that I wouldn't want to have that regret, what if the rest of my life I had never tried? Because that's something that you will never go away.
Yeah, and starting a business is not an easy thing. A lot of people say, well, you've got to have a business plan, which is a good idea. You should always have a business plan to start out. But a lot of people spend so much time planning, they never get off the ground, do they?
They don't. I see it all the time.
So you've been successful in growing to 450 client relationships. That's a pretty significant group of clients. What is the secret to your success?
You know, Wayne, I don't know if there is a secret. I'll say that I've worked as hard as anybody I've ever met, and that's definitely necessary in my business. You know, I think anybody can be successful. I think it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of determination. It takes persistence, and it takes a lot of resilience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, over the past 18 years, I've seen literally hundreds, if not thousands of people try and not stick with my business, okay, which is where I see them. And I often wonder why. And everybody likes it when times are good, but nobody seems to like it when the times are bad. And they're not that good right now.
Right.
And I just think that people don't have it in their heart to stick to it. And of course, you know, if you do, and I've seen many times that you know, on the other side of the rainbow, you know, the business is a good business. It's a good career. And you can't quit when things are tough. Quitters never win. Winners never quit.
You're a financial planner, financial advisor. What do you do? How do you work hard to achieve what your clients want? What are the things that you do that make your clients happy about what you do for them?
I think what my clients appreciate is that we sit down on a regular basis to examine what's going on. You know, I think it's important to understand what you own and why you own it. And it doesn't mean that it's always going to do what you thought it would, but
right.
If it still makes sense for the future and you have an advisor that you know is looking after your money on a regular basis and communicating that to you, which is something we do with our clients, those are some of the biggest compliments that we've got. I mean, there's a lot of things that are out of our control going on in the world, going on in the economy and the markets right now, and everybody knows that. But I think the thing about having an advisor is that you'd like, that you trust, that has a track record of success, that that you're comfortable with, is a lot of the things that our clients tell us that they like about me and my team.
Excellent. And, you know, everybody makes mistakes. I do. You know, what mistakes have you made in your business, and how would you correct them in the next time that you had to start a new venture or, you know, in currently running your business? How would you correct those mistakes?
You know, Wayne, I've made plenty of mistakes like everybody else. I think the biggest thing I could have done differently in the beginning would be to have teamed up with a seasoned person, a seasoned team, you know, maybe somebody with gray hair. And I say that jokingly.
Well, you've got gray hair.
Yeah, I've got gray hair. So I was looking for myself. But in
but
the
you,
beginning.
You didn't always have gray hair, right?
I did not. Okay. Always.
So teaming up with somebody who had experience as a younger person so that you could learn from them.
Yeah, I think I would have helped me close a lot of business in the beginning. There's a lot of people. I was just going after anybody and everybody I could find in the beginning. I remember I had prospect cards for Donald Trump, for Dan Snyder, for all the biggest people. I would call them a number of times, too.
Mm-hmm. Did you get through to them?
You know, I would not. I've never spoke with them, but I got through to other people quite mm-hmm. often. And I think after a while, they knew who I was. I don't know if they liked it or not, but they knew who I was. So the mistake would have been to maybe bring in somebody a little more seasoned. In the beginning, I think I would have got the ball rolling a little faster. My business would have started quicker because they would have had more experience. But looking back now, I'm actually glad I didn't, because I had to learn on my own. I had to fall on my face, and I had to learn how to do everything myself. And I think that's what's helped fuel me and continue to the growth rate that I've had with my team and my success. So in the beginning, it would have been nice, but at the end, I have no regrets.
So we're talking with Mike Baker, Vice President at Morgan Stanley. Mike, if people want to get in touch with you and become part of your team, how do they do that?
Yeah, if you have any questions, if you'd love to see the retirement income plan, if you want the question answered, what does all this mean to you? You know, we'd love to have a few minute conversation with you and see if we can help you. You can call me directly. I'm in the district, 202-862-7516, or you can just reach out to me over email, mike.baker@morganstanley.com.
I'm Wayne Zell, and you've been listening to Blueprint for Wealth. Thanks for being a special guest on the show.
Thanks for having me, Wayne.
Join us next week for another special topic and special guest. Have a great week.